medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the manager of business applications at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of J.D. Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
Not sure. You tell me. Looks like we have a couple guests on today, and congratulations. You made it through the introduction without any of the three of us trying to make you laugh. So
I know. I was actually not looking at the screen at your faces because I know better now. I've learned. I've learned some tricks over the year and a half of this.
I see. Mm-hmm. Darn.
Yeah, I know. Right? I'm getting smarter.
Yeah, you can be taught. All right. It turns out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right. Well, everybody's short on time these days. We don't want to take up too much of our guests' time. So why don't you introduce our guests and tell us what we're talking about today? Because I noticed this got tossed on the calendar fairly quickly.
I'm good like that. Mm. Just leave it to me then. Just let's roll.
Okay.
Yes. So today we have with us Andrew Ostick and Pete Cotton. And the reason we have them with us is I actually ran into an issue and I asked a question out on the TechSig group, the Quest TechSig group. And they both responded, and actually so did a couple of other people. But as part of one of the responses, Pete was like, hey, I'm happy to hop on a call with you and we can go over this. And when I joined said call, Andrew was also there. So very cool to see him there. And I was like, this should be a podcast episode before we even started. And they're like, so, yeah, whatever.
So moral of the story is don't respond to inquiries on the TechSig from certain individuals that have podcasts, or you might end up on a podcast.
I guess we'll have to ask Andrew and Pete about that. Yeah, maybe that might be the moral of the story. Oh. Yes. So anyway, the question I had asked was surrounding Cafe One and iframe issues. So we're implementing a cloud-based AP third-party solution, and we had hoped to be able to display a copy of the invoice using Cafe One. Unfortunately, the third-party AP automation tool employs an iframe buster, which restricts their content from being displayed in an iframe. So I had asked if anybody had a good solution or workaround to display sites that do not allow iframes. So instead, the third party actually said, well, how about we just send you the PDFs and you can upload them to E1 as a media attachment? That was their proposed solution for me. And I was like, that's an awful lot of volume of PDFs because we process a lot of invoices every year. I was like, I don't think we want to do that. So I was like, well, maybe somebody else has already run into this issue. So Let me just throw the question out on the TechSig group and see if I get any responses. And sure enough, I did. So with that, welcome, Pete and Andrew.
Thank you very much. Nice to be back.
I know. I'm so excited you're both back. Yay.
Yes. The lesson on this one is just to be wary of community engagement because you never know when your engagement may go to that next level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In all fairness, Chandra did ask for consent, which is important. So we are here of our own volition.
That's true. In fact, we're going to revisit the whole conversation we had just to share with our listeners, because I felt like if I had this question, I got to believe there's others that have run into a similar scenario, right? I can't be the only one. That's one of those things that I've found in this community. Ask the question, because you just never know. Chances are somebody else has run into the issue.
That's what's great about the community. You mentioned that you just throw something out there and you had half a dozen people that reached out to this and two people that jumped on a call with you within a week just to like provide context and a different perspective on how their organizations are handling that issue.
Exactly. That to me is what is one of those most amazing things about this community. This is exactly why I love being part of this community.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to the culture that we've, you know, obviously cultivated throughout the decades. And then, it, you know, it's nice to have a medium like this to be able to capture those thoughts, because whether or not somebody's had the question in the past, we know it'll come up in the future. And hopefully, you know, having this as a reference and as a resource, it'll help answer those questions when they come up.
So. Yes. Very cool. So both Pete and Andrew had a little bit different takes on how to solve this issue. And then actually, we also had one of our vendors actually in the community responded back with another approach as well. So let's just go through and we can do, Pete, let's start with you. Maybe you can walk us through generically. Obviously, we don't need to share a lot of details about whatever platform you're using for your stuff, but maybe how you solved for the same issue I have. You know, hey, I can't display this in an iframe. And I know it's not just an AP thing. I can see these solutions that we're going to talk about. You could use them with any other thing. So maybe you store contracts in a third-party system and you wanted to be able to display those contracts when you're in the contracts module within JD Edwards. So there are tons of ways I feel like this could be used. So with that, Pete, I'm going to let you explain your option.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, with all of the particular scenarios that we're talking about today, they're all related to document imaging systems, right? But you can generalize that even further. And I was thinking about this yesterday after we had talked. A lot of times when we talk about integration with JD Edwards, we're talking about sending data back and forth between JDE and another system, whether that's through flat files or APIs, business services, right? It's that sort of data layer of integration. But this is another type of integration when you think about it, where you're really just trying to integrate another system interface into JD Edwards. And that is something that Cafe One is excellent at. And so we were in a very similar situation, I think, to Chandra when we started out on this particular solution journey. We were also looking for a way to integrate those document images into JD Edwards. And our first thought, of course, was Cafe One. When we first started down that path, because of how our third-party system was configured, we also had an issue with iframes. It was another scenario where it wasn't allowing us to display the content due to it being embedded in the iframe in Cafe One, which is a requirement. So we started to think outside the box a little bit. And I wish I could take full credit for this solution, but actually it was an idea that my CIO had, and then we kind of explored it and iterated on it. What we came up with was essentially to use a almost like a middleware solution, or you could think of it like a light proxy HTML page, which takes the same parameters that would normally get passed into that third-party document imaging system, into their parameterized URL. We pass those instead into this light HTML page, and then there's a few JavaScript functions that run from that page, which launch an external, like a new tab, that actually brings up the document image. So it doesn't display in line with the JD Edwards screen like a Cafe One would, but it gives you a button basically to click, and it still is reading your document data to feed into the third party.
Interesting.
We also, as we were kind of going through that and we were comparing and contrasting to what the initial vision was, we actually found some pros and cons to doing it that way. I mean, obviously we have to host this other page somewhere. So that's a bit of overhead that comes along with this particular solution. But on the other side, there are a lot of users, at least for us, who really maximize their grid and are looking at a lot of detail, a lot of data all the time. If you're using a solution that brings the image in on a side-by-side, like a Cafe One, you're taking up quite a bit of that real estate, whereas the button actually takes up a lot less.
Which you're right. I mean, I think about the number of columns that people have in their grids for, you know, supplier ledger inquiry. And I know myself, I find myself scrolling through a lot because I'm looking at a lot of different pieces of data in there. So now if I'm taking up half that screen and let's say I don't have, you know, a 36-inch monitor to just take my whole JD Edwards up with, it does get to be like, oh, wait, where did that field go again? You know, you're scrolling and you went too far, or you went and you've got half of it taken up by an image. It can be a little bit frustrating.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell for us. Since then, we've actually accomplished what we initially set out to do. We were able to change some settings with our third-party provider. Mm-hmm. And now we have the option of either using that button to launch in a new tab or to have the Cafe One in line so people can kind of pick their poison.
Nice.
Very cool. Andrew, what did you guys do?
Yeah, I just want to echo Pete's comments that the holy grail is to be able to create that one screen that you can embed an ancillary software application within your E1 real estate. We've ran across that a couple times. We've never been able to get past that hurdle. But in regards to kind of what we're talking about with the third-party integration and being able to see that image, when I joined JFJ, they were in the midst of an AP solution project, and they wanted to do something very similar. So the way they handled it, all of the OCR capturing and indexing that comes in through the third-party application, that was going over, they facilitated that through business services, ran it through BSSV in two different workflows. So it would push over all of the data into the appropriate AP, GL tables, any other impacted areas within E1. And then once that was completed, they would push over a second BSSV workflow that would create a URL attachment. That was then stored against the 411 record, the AP details. So when the E1 AP users were working within Supplier Ledge Inquiry, they were able to notice the attachment, open up the attachment, and it would have a URL link that would then open up the AP automation tool. And they were able to both see the image and actually perform their AP automation or their management within that secondary application just within another tab within their browser window. So that URL attachment, while we aren't necessarily getting the individual image into E1 at that point in time, because again, the goal was not to replicate data storage and store that image in two different systems, that URL attachment just is parameterized and takes the user right into the application with which they need to manage or view that. How I came into it, we did have some problems with that BSSV. So as part of the evolution with the third party piece, we have changed that second workflow from BSSV to orchestrations. So from the third party side, when we just have them run three API calls to grab a token, then add the URL attachment with the information captured within their platform. And then the final application is to log out that token so the session doesn't max out on it. So our approach has been to utilize the URL attachment to bypass the iframe issues that were experienced.
Well, and I did receive an email from Clayton Seeley as well that did say, not sure if this will help you, but there is an enhancement bug out there. It's bug 37652332. So people can go vote on that bug, I'm assuming, or attach themselves to it as well. And it does sound like, I think one of the community members did mention that enhancement. I think it's enhancement 16857 on Quest. So if you haven't already assigned your voting to it, you should do it there as well. But it sounds like that person actually did the same thing that Andrew did. And then one other person did something similar to what Andrew did as well. So that was very interesting.
So which direction are you going to go?
I don't know yet. I haven't decided. I need to talk with my developer and my CNC first before. We just had this call, so I haven't had a chance to kind of circle back with them to determine what we're going to do. The solution for placing that separate pizza approach, the HTML page, I believe you mentioned that was on one of your web servers, right, Pete?
Yeah, I guess I'll say this as well. You know, that's more of a do as I say, not as I do type of situation. It's probably not the best place to host your non-JD Edwards webpage. Be aware that if you do put something out onto your web server and you're using that, it's very likely to get blown away anytime you do an update. So you're going to have to replace that at some point as well. So I would say best practice would be find another place. It's a very small lightweight page to host. You just need a static place to stick it where you can serve that page.
Yep. And that's where I'll need to get together with my CNC, determine what the best approach is for my organization, and make sure I need to find out, does that third-party tool allow for the parameterized? Is that right? That's the word, parameterized.
Whew. That's easy for all of us to say.
Right? URL, so that I can make sure that that option will work for me. So, and I want to talk to the business and find out, you know, which one of these might be the best option for them, for how they want to see it, right? I don't want to make an assumption.
I have a question for Andrew, if I can.
Of course. InFocus 2025 is coming, and you're invited to the JD Edwards Event of the Year. Join the JDE community, Oracle product teams, and industry experts in Denver, Colorado, Tuesday, September 9th, through Thursday, September 11th, for 3 powerful days of learning, networking, and innovation. Save extra when you register a group of 4 or more. Dive deep into key topics like Release 25 and 26, Orchestrator, AI, Automation, UX1, and more. All designed to help you get the most from your JD Edwards investment. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus to learn more and register. That's questoraclecommunity.org/infocus. We hope to see you in Denver.
So, Andrew, with your solution, you've got the URL that's being attached to your records, right? And once that URL attachment is established, it's essentially static in your data, correct?
Correct.
Have you had any issues where there's been maybe the wrong key inserted into the URL, or your data gets mismatched somehow, where you've had to go back and correct?
We have had issues where we've had to go back there where there's a missing URL, and then it's more of a reconciliation piece where we have to go through the media objects table and look at that key or look where things are missing or corrupted piece of it. Yes, not substantially, and more. The majority of those issues has been involved with a missing URL, mainly because of a maximum session user ID issue. So it wasn't necessarily related to the parameterized URL or a missing piece of it. Those that have had those missing keys or whatever has been more on the, again, the source side of it, the third-party platform, where they have the piece of information that's not correct there. The URL comes over, and therefore the mapping isn't correct within the supplier ledger inquiry, if you will.
Gotcha. Interesting.
So the discussion on that has been where there is a missing key piece is we could potentially just build an orchestration piece that would go in and change that key when put in the correct values for it. It goes in there and just adjusts the key based upon the generic text data structure that's being used for that media object.
You kind of regenerate the link then, right?
Basically, yeah. Basically, yeah.
Now, the benefit of the approach that you took also, Andrew, is that they have additional work to be done, right, in that third party. So you're linking out, they get to view it, but then they can actually take additional action from that third party. I don't know, in your case, Chandra, if that's applicable or not.
Yeah, that also probably is not going to be applicable for us because all of that work will be completed in the third party tool before the voucher comes back. So when it comes back into E1, it's creating that voucher. So all of our workflow is built to occur in that tool.
And that's what ours, I mean, the bulk of the workflow and the processing is done in the third-party tool. It's just a direct URL link that will open it up to that specific invoice in the third-party platform. So when it gets to E1, it's just the processing piece, I guess, for us.
Yeah, it's probably a question of timing as well, because for us, all that workflow really precedes when the voucher is being created in JD Edwards too.
Yeah, all that happens before it makes its way into E1, correct?
That would be our situation as well.
That's what we do as well.
Basically, all the processing is done, the approvals, the routing, the variations, deviations, whatever you want to call them, are all approved. and it's ready to sync back to E1. And as part of that, it then generates the voucher record when it comes back in. So
nice.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So we got two different approaches, and then on top of it, an enhancement coming.
Yeah.
Assuming that people actually vote for it.
Exactly.
What is that enhancement?
3765-2332.
And the corresponding
enhancement on the quest side is 16857.
Presently, right now, there had been about a dozen people go out there and rank it, and it's at 4.73 out of a 5.
So that's pretty high.
It is a major hitter in the lineup.
I actually added my priority to it just earlier.
Nice.
That enhancement sitting out there is less than a year old.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Only about 8 months old.
Well, we'll have to watch now. I'm going to have to log in periodically and check this one to see if its priority rating goes up after this episode drops.
Let's see what sort of influence we have.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Let's see what kind of influence we have and how deep our reach is.
Yet another benefit of community engagement is to crowdsource your enhancement.
Right? See, these are the advantages you can have if you come on the podcast.
Oh, I'm looking to see if there's any processing option text in this enhancement so I can kill it. Well, I'm probably not supposed to give out any inside information, inside baseball, but
I don't think
you need to vote on it anymore. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
So development is looking at it. That's
I'm saying more than that. There's
okay.
I mean, if we were looking at it, you might need to vote on it.
Oh,
but if you don't need to vote on it, and you guys know
someday, you know, it may be in a future release.
Well, we unveiled recently that we are also changing our release nomenclature, not just, you know, release 25, 26, whatever, but actually the underneath the covers, the 9.2.26.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well said.
Okay.
So, message received.
Some extra winks and nudges in there.
Yeah, right? You heard it here first. We'll drop this one in November.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get me in trouble. We would say this is in the planned bucket, which of course means it's actively being worked. And from what I can tell, should be coming shortly. So maybe a third option, Chandra, for you is, hey, here's another reason for your leadership to consider getting current, because there's solutions that you can take advantage of that will facilitate business processes that they clearly want to improve right now. I don't know.
Yes. So, yes, absolutely. And I thought the same thing. Yet another item to add to my list of I need an upgrade because blah.
Right, because you're going to create some level of debt, like either approach that, you know, Peter and Drew kind of shared there. I mean, that requires a little extra build out and a little extra something else you're going to have to maintain going forward. Whereas, you know, if we can get this enhancement to you, then you're not creating any technical debt that you have to displace later. So
I know. But unfortunately, the reality is I will, because assuming, let's say it was going to be available in the next 6 months. Well, my AP solution needs to be implemented before then.
Oh,
so
yeah. I understand.
Yep. At least after that, I could rip it out and do it again, because we always do that. Right. You all do that, too. Right.
You mean eliminate prior customizations using
Oh, that's right. You did do that, didn't you?
We have an entire episode on that.
I know, right? Exactly. I'm trying to get us there.
We're supposed to plug previous episodes, right?
Which episode? Do you remember? It was a two-parter. Yeah.
It was definitely a two-parter.
Because it was a very good episode. I took a lot from that one.
Episode 39 and 40, decustomization. So
yes, people want to know more about that. He talked to us about that. It was a great conversation. Go back and listen to it.
Yeah, great methodology. Yeah. Don't have to bite it off all at once.
Well, thank you both for agreeing to come on. I really, really appreciate this. As I said, it was very helpful for me to walk through it with you guys earlier this week. And I really do think that this will be valuable for our community because, again, I know I'm not the only person that's run into the issue. Obviously, there's several that I've already solved for it. And there's probably more out there that have as well.
Are absolutely. We going to do the Midwesternism, though, before we...
Yes, we absolutely have to, because it is summer. It's the end of July. It's hot. It's humid. I mean, it's Florida. This maybe doesn't apply to me, but it's hot and humid.
Are you trying to say everything sweats? Is that what you're
trying
to say?
Yeah, pretty much, including me after my runs yesterday. By the way, I went for a run last night. It was 97 or 91, feels like 109 when I met my running group.
Ooh.
That might be the official warmest I have ever run.
And we do this voluntarily. I mean, this is fun.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things like, for me, like, I like to challenge myself.
It's a badge of honor then?
No, it's not necessarily a badge of honor. It's to see what I'm capable of physically and mentally.
Okay.
It's like, well, everybody's going to show up. I mean, we had probably 25 people at Run Group last night, so I'm not the only crazy person. There's at least 24 others that apparently have a similar mindset, but just like to see what they're capable of. So, but yes, sweat has something to do with this. This Midwesternism this week is corn sweat. We're going to talk about it because Andrew lives in Nebraska, which is basically a gigantic cornfield. Right, Andrew?
Ooh. Yes, we're swimming through corn sweat as we speak.
Wow.
Nice.
And I've actually this year seen quite a few social media posts talking about corn sweat, which fascinated me because I don't ever remember, other than the phrase, like, I couldn't sleep because I could hear the corn growing phrase, I've heard that before. But I had actually never heard how much corn actually sweats and how it contributes into the humidity where you are, which summers in Minnesota, where I grew up, did get hot and humid for sure. Nothing quite like this, but it definitely got hot and humid. And I never realized that corn sweat probably played into it.
So the level of humidity that you're feeling can be attributed in part to how much corn you have and how much it's sweating.
Yeah. So what happens is that the corn plants release water vapor into the atmosphere. So as the corn plant absorbs the water from the soil, it releases it through its pores in the leaves, right? And the plant can cool down and transport its nutrients as it needs to. So all that moisture is really going into the atmosphere. Now, it's not a tremendous amount of moisture, but this year they're saying it's been really wet in the Corn Belt area, as they might refer to it, because of my area is sending the moisture. The Gulf is sending the moisture up there. So there's an extra amount of rain. I mean, the corn loves hot and humid conditions anyway. It grows like crazy when it has heat and humidity. Well, you pour in more humidity and it releases more humidity. So they're saying like some areas are experiencing like a 20 to 25 degree top of what the actual temperature is, the heat index. And it's because of the corn sweat.
Wow.
Have you heard the same, Andrew?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The 10 million acres of corn that we have in Nebraska definitely contribute to a higher level of humidity.
Did you just look that up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. and you always got to remember, it's not necessarily the heat, but it's the humidity. That if you live in the Midwest, that's the go-to every summer. It's not so much the heat, but it's the humidity that really kills you.
Yeah, and you can cut it with a knife and you can't escape it. So you said you had how many? 10 million acres?
Over 10 million acres of corn.
All right. An acre of corn can evaporate an additional 4,000 gallons of water into the atmosphere. So if you want to take 4,000 times 10 million and come up with that number.
Yeah. Did you know Minnesota has 8.5 million acres?
Wow. Did not.
According to the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. Jeez. I knew there was a lot of corn there. Not quite Nebraska corn.
Yeah, that's a lot of sweat. That's a lot of sweat.
We do husk a lot of corn in Nebraska.
Yes.
Yes, you do. Well,
the done. Yeah, well played.
Cool. All right. Well, for questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, remember, don't post on certain groups and answer questions because you might get roped in. Just kidding. Contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.